The populist authoritarianism that is the downside of political correctness means that anyone, sometimes it seems like everyone, can proclaim their grief and have it acknowledged. The victim culture, every sufferer grasping for their own Holocaust, ensures that anyone who feels offended can call for moderation, for dilution, and in the end, as is all too often the case, for censorship. And censorship, that byproduct of fear, stemming as it does not from some positive agenda, but from the desire to escape our own terrors and superstitions by imposing them on others, must surely be resisted. And that quote comes from Jonathan Green. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. The censorship of information to any degree is abhorrent. And indeed, it is the censorship of information over the centuries that has been greatly responsible for many of the situations humanity finds themselves in today. Always remember, folks, that history is written by the winners. And so that is the version of history that you get. And that is the story that molds you, that aims you, that defines who you are. And so it's extremely important for people to pay attention to where that story comes from. And it's extremely important for people to look at all information objectively. And this is why censorship is abhorrent, because censorship is often used to stifle an opposing view or an opposing opinion. And really, it's important to look at all sides, folks, because we don't have any real idea of where we came from. I mean, honestly, you've only got theory and conjecture from all counts. We have evolutionist theories, we have biblical creationist theories, we have the Gnostic vision that I brought to you last week, we have the concept of panspermia, we have all sorts of ideas of where we came from, and we have all sorts of ideas and beliefs of how we got to where we are now. And really, in all of this, folks, the only thing we can be 100% certain of is where we are now. Because I doubt that there is anybody on the planet that fully knows 100% what all of the paths and the steps that were taken to bring us here were. Because all we can do is look back through books and listen to oral traditions. But as I said, history is always written by the winners. And if what we're reading isn't a history book, then it is usually just someone's opinion that they've written in a book. It may be based in fact, it may be based on things that they've experienced personally, or it may be hearsay based on other books and based on their version of history. And there's so much of this stuff out there, folks, that it becomes very, very difficult to discern what is real and what is fantasy. That's why it's important to look at all the information and to see what resonates. Because that's really what it comes down to, folks. I was having a discussion with someone the other day on YouTube as a response to my last radio show, which did cause quite a storm among people. Especially many Christians were questioning very much why I would present such a concept as the Gnostic concept, and were very concerned that I would have someone like John Lash on the show. John Lash is, of course, quite a controversial figure due to some statements that he's made in recent months and some of the concepts that he's put across, and I knew that there would be some backlash to having him on the show, but the reason I did have him on the show was because of the disempowerment that I've seen amongst people of late when they've discovered concepts such as the Archons, because many people are looking into this type of information now. And I've seen a huge disempowerment in people. Whereas when I came across the information regarding the Archons myself and the possibility of something like this happening, and the fact that it actually existed in ancient texts, which is an interesting thing for it to exist, the thing that first introduced me to the concept of the Archons was the Sophianic myth, and I found it to be very empowering, because I could find traces of this through early books that I'd read, such as the books of Carlos Castaneda and other writings that I'd found around the place. I'd found suggestion of something like this, and I found the information to be very, very empowering and gave me an interesting understanding of how shamans viewed the world. And as I said last week, I also recently done ceremony in Peru, where I'd quite literally connected to the Mother Goddess energy and experienced something of a predator mind while I was in a state of ceremony. So it was all very synchronistic for me, and the discovery of the information actually went a long way to confirm what I had just experienced in ceremony. Very, very synchronistic series of events, folks. And then to suddenly come across the story of the myth, it was a very, very empowering concept for me. Whereas lately what I've seen is that people are being introduced to this information and they're finding it very disempowering and actually quite terrifying. And that's why I thought it would be good to have John Lash on the show to discuss the myth, because I think the myth is an important part of the Archon concept. And I think John's translation of the myth is a good thing. It's a great contribution that's been made. And it's an interesting perspective to look at, regardless of what his political views are, regardless of what type of steps he's suggested should be taken, and regardless of what people think about him personally. I've found him to be quite a nice man to talk to, very comfortable to talk to, very interesting man to talk to, and I enjoyed the conversation, and in the spirit of not censoring any information, I thought it was a good thing to do to look at the Gnostic perspective. Who knows, I might even look up Jay Widener and have him on the show and get his perspective of the whole thing as well. But yes, it did cause quite a stir with people. And what I was saying to someone the other day who sent me a message, and in that message they said, do you know what life was like before Christianity and Islam? It was a terrible dark place, and it was a time of great suffering. And I said to them, no, I don't know what it was like before religion existed. And nobody really does, because nobody who is alive now was actually there to be able to tell us. And all we have are history books, and history is written by the winners. The only thing that I can ever truly know is that which I intuitively know. And the only thing that I'm really any authority on is myself. And to be quite honest, according to my own observations of things, the only thing I really know to be true about history is that virtually everything they have taught us is true is false. And really, folks, I mean, where do you start? Where do you go from there? I mean, if everything that they've told you about history, or most of it, is wrong, then what have you got to go on? All you can really do is go and look for yourself and see what intuitively feels right. Because that's really all we have. That connection to source, that connection to the field around us, that knowing that we have inside us. And so, what do we know, folks? What do we really know for sure? Well, we only really know what is now. And what I know about now is I know that the world is run by psychopaths, Exhibit A, the Earth. I know that everybody on the planet is kept in a constant state of scarcity and forced to pay to be alive. And I know that we could fix the problem if we were to wake up to who and what we are. That's what I know. Because that is now. That is where we are right now. And there are so many people who are arguing about how we got here. And folks, I mean, you can look at any number of scenarios and come up with any number of reasons as to why we got here, but the point is that we are here, right now, in this situation, right now. And folks, look, the world is run by criminals. Look at what recently happened with the Prism data collection scandal that we've just seen. Edward Snowden, the whistleblower, who revealed the fact that every single piece of data that is transferred electronically is monitored, that the NSA has access to everything you've ever done online, all of your phone records, all of your passwords, all of your bank account details, everything. They have access to the lot. You know why they do, folks? Because they're a bunch of criminal scumbags who want to know everything about everybody else so that they can control the world. And they do this under the pretense of national security. And now we have the American government seeking to press criminal charges against Edward Snowden. Isn't it wonderful, folks? We can have a criminal government run by psychopaths who carries out criminal activity against the people of the world on a daily basis, and if anybody exposes them, they write a new rule on a piece of paper to call it a crime. You know why they do that, folks, and how they get away with it? They do it and they get away with it because they're criminals and nobody does anything about it. Because the people of the world don't know who they are. I mean, there are some people who do know who they are, but very often they're waiting for salvation from an external source. They're not prepared to act themselves. They're waiting for Christ to come, or they're waiting for a saviour of some descript, Planet X, Ascension, the Pleiadians, whatever other rubbish they can cook up, because it's all fantasy, folks, because the solution lies with the people themselves. But of course, it's not going to happen until the people discover themselves. That's the one thing we constantly get led away from, folks, is any type of discovery of our own power. You know, we get locked into this education system from a very early age and we're taught to comply with the system. We're taught that we're not capable of doing anything real. We're only capable of finding a niche within the machine and becoming a good, reliable little cog. And if we do, we will be financially rewarded and we'll be in a position where we can climb rungs on the social and economic and business ladders. And we're taught that if we work our whole lives and we do the right thing and we grease the right palms and we say the right thing and we look the right way and we act the right way, eventually we may even get to be an executive in some company where we can tell other people what to do. And it's all just rubbish, folks. It's all stuff that leads you away from yourself and that makes the machine that enslaves us more efficient. You see, it only has the power that we give it, folks. It has that power because we believe the machine's real, but it's not. It's just a fiction. And when you look at the world today, you look at the state of the world today, it becomes clear that we need to act in some manner to fix this problem, to fix this situation. And ultimately, folks, what's wrong with the world is us. It's our disempowerment. It's our failure to find ourselves. It's our failure to stand in the power that we have inherently as mankind. You know, I've often said that we are each unique and we are each here to do something constructive with the time that's given to us. We are each the custodians of the future, the custodians of the future for our children, the custodians of freedom during our time, the custodians of the planet itself. That's what we are. That's what our role is. We're here to experience ourselves and to pay attention to what's around us, to be aware of the legacy we're leaving behind, because we can create a far better world if we choose to participate in it. And the growth that you attain in this life and the actions that you take and the legacy that you leave behind may well be the breadcrumbs that you may need to find on your next time around, or that others may need to find in order to be able to help shape a better future during their time here. And I just think it's important for us to pay attention, folks. It's important for us to get involved because the world is heading for a very bad place and we could fix it very, very easily if we simply choose to act. Things like this PRISM data scandal that's just happened and Edward Snowden, the whistleblower, this shows you how corrupt this system is. I mean, we already knew that they were monitoring everything and that nothing was safe online. But now this shows you the extent that they are doing it. And this shows you just how controlled everybody is and just how paranoid these psychopaths and criminals who run the planet are. And look at Obama, folks. Look what he's done since he came in. I mean, he's a psychopath and he's a criminal. And I put it to him right now. President Obama, I challenge you. You are a criminal and I can prove it. So let's have a public debate. Let's any politician around the planet have a public debate. Julia Gillard, you're a sociopath, you're a criminal, and I can prove it. Let's have a public debate. Any politician. I mean, you're all a bunch of criminal scumbags who are ripping off the people of your country, and you all should be removed from office. Every single one of them should be removed from office. And the way to remove them from office, folks, is to realize that the office is fiction. We just made it up. These people aren't doing anything to help us run our countries. All they are doing is stealing from us and helping to depopulate the planet. And it isn't just humankind they're depopulating, it's everything. The whole environment is being trashed. And folks, really, when you look at the state of the world today, you've got to wonder who gains from any of this. How do the Rothschilds gain? How do the elite gain? How does anybody gain from what is being done to the planet? Nobody gains from this. So what happened? What happened to human consciousness that would put us in this state? And that's when you really have to look at things such as the Archon's face, because sometimes when you look at the planet and you look at the state of the world and you look at the state of human consciousness, you think, well, something like the Archons is the only logical explanation as to why we do this. And lo and behold, here it is in ancient texts telling us that that's what's going on. And you also find suggestion of it in many, many ancient cultures and many tribal traditions. And what I've experienced in ceremony also suggests that there is much more to this reality than meets the eye. And folks, you know, the concept of a mind parasite, the concept of the predator mind, once you know about this, it can be very empowering information. And just by opening yourself up to the fact that this could be a possibility, gives you the ability to free yourself from it. And so what am I saying here? Am I saying that the Archons are real? No, I'm not. I'm simply saying that it's a possibility. Because all I can really know is what is now. And when I look at the world now, what I know is that the world is all messed up. And it's messed up because we don't fix it. And what I'm asking is why we don't fix it. What is it in our mind that prevents us from acting? I mean, sure, in many cases, it's the salvationist ideology. It's the redeemer complex that people have. They believe that Superman's coming to save them. Very often, it's other people believing that the Pleiadians are coming to save them, or the Galactic Federation of Light is coming to save them, or that Planet X is coming, or there's some other fictional construct that has been created for them in order to give their power away. Because the power is right there. It's right there inside you for everybody to stand in should they choose to do so. But what is it in our mind that causes us to believe this stuff? What is it in our mind that causes us to believe that other people have a right of ownership over us? What is that? What does that? What causes us to be so subservient? It isn't just fear. It isn't just fear of the uniforms. It isn't just fear of the legal system. There's something that's been superimposed over our minds that causes us to step away from our personal power and to give that power to other people. There's something in our mind that causes us to believe this simulated reality, this fictional reality, this paper-based legal system and this fictional social structure that we've got is actually real. But it's not. It's an illusion. It's a matrix. And that's what I'm asking, folks. I want to know where this comes from. I'd like to know why people think this way. I mean, sure, a lot of it is to do with left brain education. People are locked in word magic. They're caught up in an understanding of reality that's based on their understanding of the language. There's all of this sort of stuff that's been put in place. A very, very clever system, folks. But there's also the fungal growths in our body. There's the electromagnetic soup that we're forced to swim around in. There's the toxins that are put in the food. There's all of these things that are put in place to keep us locked down. Where did it all come from? And why do we continue to not face these facts? And why do we continue to give our power away to other people and to assume that others have a right of ownership over us? Because that's all a legal system is, folks. I mean, if there's no harm done to anybody from you performing whatever actions you performed, then no crime has been committed. And yet the legal system will superimpose itself over you and do hardship to you because you can't see that it's fiction. And you can't see that the people that are doing it to you are just people. All they're doing is following rules on pieces of paper. It's all fiction. It doesn't mean anything. Someone just wrote it down. It isn't reality. And so what causes us to do this? What causes us to give our power away so freely? Because all that is, folks, all the whole legal system is someone claiming a right of ownership over you and using a slavery system to keep you in line. That's all the legal system is, folks. It's not anything designed to protect you or to preserve law. What it is a slavery system designed to control people. So why do we give our power to such a system? What is it in our minds that causes us to do this so readily? And without ever even questioning the authority of these people, what causes us to do this, folks? Because we do. We just hand our authority away willy-nilly. We just do this all the time. And we even do it when we attempt to stand up against the system, you see. Because we realize the system's fiction. We decide to stand up against it. But then we do so within the parameters that are provided for us by the system. So even in standing up against it, we're giving authority to it. But it's just fiction. Why do I have to work within those parameters? Why do I have to subject myself to a slavery system designed to control me in order to claim I'm free from it? Why can't I just claim that I'm free from it? Why can't these people show me a contract signed by my creator which gave them jurisdiction? If they're going to work in contract law, well, that's what I need. Or anything. Show me how they have a right of ownership over me. Because there's one crime that is illegal in virtually every country, folks, and that is slavery. And yet, what we have here is a slavery system. Because there is no injured party in most of the actions you perform against this system. You know, you step outside of their lines, you park in the wrong place, you do whatever. And there's no injured party in your actions. The only injured party in the whole thing is you when you get prosecuted. So who broke the law? The system broke the law. The government broke the law when they injured you for crossing one of their fictional lines. And that is a slavery system because they are injuring you and yet you did no harm to anybody else. They're injuring you because you didn't follow one of their rules. But what gives them the right to even impose these rules over you to begin with? They only believe they have that right because they believe they have a right of ownership over the people of their country. That's what governments believe. But the fact is that governments are simply public trustees. They don't have a right of ownership over anybody or anything. They don't own the resources. They don't own anything. They're just looking after it all for us. The problem is that we have forgotten that. See, that's the problem to the whole thing, folks, is that we have forgotten who we are. We've forgotten where we stand in this social hierarchy. We've forgotten the role that governments are supposed to play, and we've allowed these institutions to be overrun by sociopaths and psychopaths and people who have a vested interest in gaining positions of control. They don't do so because they want to help anyone. They do so because they want to feather their own nests and steal from the people. And this recent NSA exposure, Operation PRISM, the data collection agency, the revelations of Edward Snowden, just shows to what extent these psychopaths and sociopaths will go to continue to monitor everybody and to find anybody who speaks out against them so they can construct some fictional crime, some fictional rule, and then stand up and say, oh, this person broke the law because they exposed me as being a criminal, and then they can arrest everybody that they want to because they believe they have a right of ownership over the entire world. But really, they're just a bunch of psychopathic criminal scumbags who continue to do what they do because the people of the world choose to remain complacent because they don't know who they are. But I think things are changing, folks. I think people are waking up to this fact. I think people are waking up to the power that they actually have. And I think people are more and more standing up against this system and making noise publicly about what's going on. Of course, the government is continuing to crack down on these people that are doing such things. Look what's going on in Turkey, folks. We've got a terrible situation being faced there by the people because the psychopaths in government are cracking down on them. And the real problem in that whole situation, folks, is the brain-dead morons that work for the police and the army who are actually doing the cracking down. The military forces that are going out there and blindly obeying any rule that's given to them by the powers that be and are going out and inflicting harm upon the people of the country because the people are trying to stand up against the criminals that are running the country. So this just shows how much the police and army go to very often support the criminal activity of governments, and that is the real problem that we face, is that we not only have a criminal government, but we also have a criminal police force which is always ready to support the actions of the criminal government. And these are the people we really do need to reach, and that's one of the biggest problems that we face, folks. Unfortunately, it is. And it's very disturbing when we consider that these institutions, such as the police force, were actually constructed in order to protect the people, and now they are really the biggest threat the people face. And that's the state of the world today, folks, and that's what I know. And so that's really where the attention needs to go. That's where the focus needs to go. The focus needs to be in the now, because now is where we are, and now is where we can shape the future. But unless we are aware of what is happening right now, instead of arguing about how and why we got here, then we're never really going to get anywhere. We have to pay attention, folks, and we have to pay attention to the environment that we're in, not the one that we believe we may have been in, not the one that we see for us in the future. I mean, we have to be aware of what is happening for us and where we're heading, but don't be too focused on the future, because if you do, you'll just get worried about it. You've got to understand how you can change the future is by participating in the now, because now is where you are. Now is where we all are, and now is where we have our power, and now is the time we have to change things. And I just think it's important for people to be aware of this, shift their perspective a little, and to shift their focus on what's happening right around them right now, because I really think that's where change can come from, folks. When we're always locked in the past, trying to figure out how we got here, or we're always concerned about the future, where we're going, and what's happening, where we could be in another few years. But neither of them exist right now. And right now is where you are, and right now is where you can make a change. But it looks like we're coming up on break time here, folks, so I'll have to leave it right there, right now, and we can go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the show today, and I will be back in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so looking at the world right now, folks, well, our planet is in a very, very bad way. And every problem that the planet faces, be it coal seam gas mining, be it the depletion of the ocean life, be it Fukushima, be it oil spills, be it depopulation, be it chemtrails, be it starving children, be it war, be it poverty, be it any type of deforestation, any type of pollutive industry, any type of degradation that we see anywhere, every single thing that we face that is a problem on this planet is a result of the actions of man. And we can look at this, and many people will say, well, this is terrible. Man is a virus that needs to be exterminated because of the damage that man is doing to the planet. But this is not really true, folks. What's doing the damage to the planet is the corporate system that has been superimposed over the mind of man, the fictional matrix that has been superimposed over the mind of man, the simulated reality that the people believe is real, and the legal system and government system that accompanies it. See, that's the problem. As I said earlier in the show, we employ government. These are trustees that are there to look after stuff for us, and that's the problem, is that we have people looking after things for us, when really we should be looking after things for ourselves. You know, no one should be looking after your life for you. You should be looking after your life for yourself. The only reason you need someone to look after your life for you is because you're caught within a system whereby you have to pay to be alive. And there's all of these rules and infrastructure and all this stuff that's been put in place and superimposed over the human consciousness to make you subservient to this type of system. But it's all fiction, folks. See, that's the problem, is that we have other people looking after things for us. They do it all according to the parameters of a commercial system which puts profits before anything else, before the people, before the environment, before what is right, before anything. It's all about the economic model. And the world of today and the degradation that we see on all counts and from all aspects and all perspectives is all a result of the economic model that has been superimposed over the mind of man. The fact that every single action and every single thing about this planet has been reduced to commerce. that an economic value has been attached to everything. This is the inevitable result, folks. When you have a system like that, this is the inevitable result. And so why is the system there? Well, it's there because the people believe it to be real. The people believe it to be real because they were taught that it was real. They were taught that this is how the world has to be. And when people wake up and see the problem of the system, they suddenly move into the past and they try to figure out how we got here. What was it? Who can I point the finger at? Who is to blame? Or they start looking at the data and they extrapolate things into the future and they start living in fear of where we're going and what's happening. So they start screaming out about fear of the future to people. And as I said earlier, neither of those things exist right now. Screaming out fear is not the way to do it. And arguing over what happened in the past is not the way to do it either. It could be any number of things. It could be the archons. It could be just that we're so messed up from all the chemical environment that we're stuck in. It could be because of the word magic that's superimposed over us. It could be any number of things, and we will never know until we free ourselves from the system. And we will never do that. We will never achieve freedom from this system until we start operating in the now. We will never do that until we know ourselves and respect ourselves. Because when we do that, we begin to know and respect those around us. And we realize what we can do through the strength of numbers and common respect and common unity. I mean, even when I say the police are criminals, the police are criminals because they're operating within a system that supports the criminal activity of government. Because the whole system is criminal as far as I'm concerned. The police may not be knowingly criminals. Many of them believe that they are probably doing the right thing. They believe the system is real. They're completely locked into left brain. But by the same token, there are also a great many police officers, in fact, quite large numbers of police officers, who are just downright sociopaths and who enjoy inflicting themselves upon other people. So, you know, we've got an interesting dynamic there, but there's this whole peer group, buddy club culture within the police force whereby they don't rat on each other and they're scared to rat on each other. They police themselves, and the way they police themselves is they police anybody who's going to speak out against the police force because, oh no, you can't do that. You can't discredit us because of a few bad apples. But really, it's a lot more than a few bad apples because the whole system itself is a bad apple. And so that's a really difficult thing, folks. It's very, very difficult to reach the police, and the police are truly the biggest problem that the people face. I mean, whenever you even try to get close to a politician to talk to them, whenever you stand up and ask a pertinent question at meeting time or something like that, we've seen what happens to these people. The police walk in and they tase them and they drag them out because they believe that they have to do that. It's not about freedom of speech. It's not about asking questions of your public trustees. It's about you doing what you're told. And that's the way they're trained to be. A lot of police in America are trained to believe that the founding fathers of the United States were quite literally terrorists. And so that anybody talking about the Constitution should be seen as a potential terrorist. This is the extent that it's gone to, folks. And it's all because people believe the system is real. And the system only really exists because people aren't prepared to take responsibility for themselves on their own lives. People want someone else to look after things for them. But really what they're doing is they're living in a simulated reality. They're living in a matrix, and they're not paying attention to themselves. They're not paying attention to the earth. They're not paying attention to what reality is and what life could be. I mean, this planet is such a beautiful planet, folks. There is so much potential in what we have here. There's so much potential in the human species. Even if we wanted to have a system, there's so much potential for it to be something that empowers everybody. Because the natural state of all life on this planet is abundance. Because this is a truly abundant planet. The only thing wrong with it is that we trash it all the time because we are locked into this economic model, this fictional commerce-based reality. That's the problem. And also, of course, a big part of it is because we believe that the government controls us. Like just a couple of weeks ago or last week, sometime recently, I mentioned to you that nobody controls you. Nobody owns you, folks. There's a legal term called sui generis. And this is a legal term, folks, so it's even recognized within the fictional legal system, sui generis. And What that basically means is that you're unique. You have no peers. And this can be proven because you have a completely unique set of fingerprints. You have completely unique DNA. You have a completely unique perspective of reality. You are different to every other person on the planet. And yet you come from the same place, from the same universal consciousness that everybody else comes from. So you are one, you are part of a unity consciousness, but you are also completely and utterly unique in yourself. That's the way reality has to be. Otherwise it wouldn't work. Of course, all these things get hijacked. If you even talk about unity consciousness, people say, collectivism. No, it's not about collectivism. It's not about any ism. It's about knowing who and what you are and where you come from. Where the spark of life that is you, the electromagnetic field, the electromagnetic frequency that is you, where that comes from. Because it doesn't come from your body, the biological organism that you're walking around in. That's just the vessel you inhabit. And because of its unique frequency and its unique coding, its uniqueness, then you only experience one perspective of reality that is you. And that is completely unique to you, but it does come from a collective consciousness. So you're both. You are unity consciousness and you are completely unique. And therefore you are not subject to the laws of your peers. You have no peers. You're not subject to anything. You're not part of the general population, so you're not subject to the general legal system. The general legal system is just a fiction and you have no peers. And if there's no injured party in your action, then no crime has been committed. And if someone is claiming that they do have a right of jurisdiction over you, then what they're essentially claiming is that they have a right of ownership over you. And you should ask these people for proof of claim of that ownership. And if they are unable to produce it, then I would suggest to them that they are operating a slavery system. And then you could ask them to show proof of claim that they are not. You know, and this is a very, very simple remedy, folks. And if people can look at the system in that way and always be respectful in your actions and do no harm in what you do, but don't take a backward step to anybody who claims to have authority over you, then we can change things. And the police really do have to wake up to what's going on here, because unfortunately police in the modern world are being used to inflict a corporate system over the mind of man, and they're being used as a weapon by which the government is able to rape the environment and steal the wealth of the people of their nations. That's unfortunately what modern police are doing. And we've got to find a way of reaching these people. I mean, I call them out all the time, but I do try to respect them as people as well, because they're just human beings like everybody else. Not all of them are sociopaths. Many of them do believe they're doing the right thing, and you have to be able to approach them politely and eloquently. But you do need to question their authority, and you do need to always question the authority of any court or any type of jurisdiction that anybody is claiming over you, folks, because if there is no injured party in your actions, then no law has been broken. And unless you have agreed to give somebody jurisdiction over you, then they are essentially operating a slavery system, and we need to call them out on it, folks, because that's what this whole thing is. I mean, there are many different aspects to it, but basically the whole commercial system, the legal system, the education system, the pharmaceutical system, the whole lot, roll it all together and it's a system of slavery. And they're doing this as well, folks. They are combining the whole lot. Now it's very, very difficult to get your child into school if it hasn't been vaccinated. You've got to have your kid enslaved to Big Pharma and be putting toxic substances into the child in order to get it hooked into the medical system and to keep it in constant brain fog, or you are a threat to the rest of society. And that's why they're doing it this way, folks. They want everybody to be uniform, and they're making it a crime for you to want to look after yourself. Well, you know, against the legal system anyway. When I say a crime, folks, you've got to be careful, because really nothing that you do to break legislation is a crime. The only crimes that are committed have injured parties, and there is no injured party in the breach of a statute. Statutes are not law, they're just legislation. There is only one law, and that is do no harm, and that is all the government does to the people via the mechanism of legislation. So it's really important to step back and look at it, folks. This is what I've often said about how we have a mirror image of reality always in our faces. It looks real, but it's not, and it always has a reverse meaning to what reality is supposed to be. And that is the difference between what is lawful and what is legal. One is law that protects you, and one is fiction that harms you. The fiction is created by a government which you believe has the power to tell you what to do, but the reality is that these people are simply public trustees who are obliged to do what we tell them to do. So again, folks, it's all backwards. And it's like this with all of our systems, folks. It's all backwards. Everything that people get tricked into believing is backwards. Everything that people get tricked into believing about reality, it's all backwards. It's all been manipulated ever since the invention of the written word, virtually. As soon as things started to become written down in books, then different concepts of reality were able to be inflicted upon the mind of man. When you read a book, what are you reading? Are you really reading information, factual information, or are you reading someone else's point of view, someone else's version of reality, and then adopting that version of reality on as your own? Are you believing that only certain things are possible because it says within this book and within these scientific parameters that only certain things are possible? Because really, when you look at how reality works, you find that the only thing that is actually impossible is that which we believe to be impossible. And if you believe that yourself, then you might ask, well, why then am I not able to create the impossible? And that is because you're part of a collective consciousness that believes that everything must fit within certain preconceived and preconstructed parameters that they have taken on and that they believe to be real. But the truth is, folks, that all you can really know is that which you intuitively know. That which can be confirmed by your own sight, taste, touch and smell, but more importantly, that which can be confirmed by your own heart. Because that's where the truth lies. It lies in your heart. And if you look within your heart, you will find that you are free. You will find that this system is a matrix, and it doesn't have to be this way. The world does not have to be in the state that it's in. Humankind does not have to be going in the direction that we are going. Wars do not have to be fought. Children do not have to die. People do not have to starve. And we do not have to live our lives in fear of public trustees and the rules that they put in place. Because unfortunately that is the situation we're in today, but it doesn't have to be this way. And all we have to do to find remedy is to find ourselves, to realize our own worth, our own value, and to step into that, and be prepared to allow other people to do the same. It's all about self-responsibility, folks. That's what freedom is, and that's what this time in history is. This is a time when we can take responsibility for ourselves. We can step up to the plate. We can change the direction that we're going in. I know the time is late and we are almost in the final stages of the control grid that's been put in place. But there is still a way out, folks, because none of it can happen if people step into their hearts. None of it can happen. None of the control grid can ever come to fruition if people find themselves before it's put in place. Because it needs us to function. Because without our belief that it is real, then it just dissipates like the cloud that it is. We're being given every opportunity to do this, folks, to step into this power. Look at this whole PRISM data collection NSA scandal that's just happened that was revealed by Edward Snowden. I mean, folks, if the United States government is going to seek to press criminal charges against this man, every single person in the United States and every single person on the globe who's ever used electronic communication need to know that this man is standing up for them and that the people who are now writing little rules on pieces of paper to see if they've got some way of constructing law so that this man can have broken it, so that they can inflict themselves upon him, need to understand that these people themselves are the criminals, that this man did you a favor, and that if the United States government is going to seek to prosecute this man, then the people of the United States need to realize that they have a real problem with the criminals that are currently running their government, and they need to do something about it. Because this sort of invasion of privacy, this sort of sociopathic and psychopathic behavior from public trustees cannot be permitted. These people are the ones who have given the power to the corporations, have allowed the corporate rape and the financial and economic enslavement of the populations of this planet. And now that someone is blowing the whistle and exposing their criminal actions, they are seeking to write new rules to deal with him, and thereby to deal with you, should you ever choose to stand up and step into your rights and step into your power. And that's the problem, folks. When we do stand up and choose to step into our power, we always do it within the parameters of the legal system. But we don't have to do that, folks, because the legal system is fiction. It only applies to those people who operate within the legal society. And that is government, public servants, public trustees. That's all they are. And we have to start holding them accountable. You know, I think the time for change is now. There are so many things happening now that need the attention of the people, and there are so many steps that have been taken to deal with this. So many people are waking up. It's a lot easier to have these conversations on the street now. It's a lot easier to talk to your neighbours about what the government's doing. It's a lot easier to get information out to people. They're still doing everything they can to keep it back and to lock the information down and to lock the people down. But it's still getting out to people, and I really don't think there's any way they can stop it now, folks. In fact, everything they do just compounds the problem. I mean, this huge scandal that's been exposed by Edward Snowden really is the biggest release of sensitive information that we've ever seen, and it shows just how criminal the government is, and the more they try to contain it, the more they expose themselves as being the criminals that they are. And this is the sort of stuff that we need to see more of. But again, folks, this will only work as long as the people are willing to step up and get on board. The people have to really look at what's going on here. Look at what this release of information means. Because what it does, folks, is it confirms everything the alternative research movement has been saying for so many years. It confirms the surveillance society, the global prison, the police state that's being put in place. It just shows it. It lays it right out there on the table for all to see. And so hopefully it will be something of a turning point, and it will cause people to stand up and pay attention a little bit. And Edward Snowden certainly is a modern-day hero. There really is a global awakening happening, folks. I mean, things are getting bad, but there is an awakening that's coming with it. Just look at what happened in Greece recently. Look at what's happening in Turkey. Look at the potential the release of this information by Edward Snowden actually has. We've got Bradley Manning in the spotlight at the moment as well for his whistleblowing. And you've got to understand, folks, that these whistleblowers are heroes. It's the government that are criminals. And they'll continue to be criminals until we stand up and say something about it. And we're not going to do that until we realize what government is and what we are. That's why I've gone through this so many times on the radio show. I've tried every way I can to empower the people. And there's been movements that have tried it as well. The OPPT tried it. Of course, it got hijacked by the New Age movement, and it got vilified by those with a vested interest in maintaining the fight. It got vilified by cult members and people who want to see the struggle continue. And all through it, people were waiting for the big switch to be flicked, and no one ever really realized that what it was about was self-responsibility. And so we have seen some sort of attempts being made, but they always get hijacked, folks, because ultimately all of these attempts, really all they're trying to do is point out to you that you have the power yourself. Everybody's looking for the silver bullet in the form of a piece of paper so they can attack the paper-based reality with another piece of paper. They just live in this paper-based world. They don't understand that there is no silver bullet that can be found in any document. The silver bullet is yourself. The silver bullet is the emotional state you hold. The silver bullet is the heart space you're in, the state of your own consciousness. The silver bullet is your awareness that you are a unique, sentient expression of creation, inhabiting the vessel given to you by creation for the experience, and that there is nobody who has any right of ownership over you. That is the silver bullet, folks. That's why it's very hard to explain to people how to emancipate themselves from the system, because they are only ever as free as they choose to be. They are only ever as free as they feel. And this freedom comes with knowledge of themselves. And no one can give you knowledge of yourself except yourself. But in order to gain that knowledge, you first have to understand who and what you are. And that is why I have repeated the same message so many times on these radio shows over the last 6 years, folks. And I've tried to look at all the angles. And when I see negative information out there, and I see people being disempowered, I try to look at the same information and address that information on the show, but look at it from a different perspective. Look at it from a more empowering perspective. That's why I chose to have John Lash on the show, for example, to talk about the Archons from the perspective of the Siphonic myth, because there are so many people talking about it from a disempowering perspective. And I figure that if you're going to look at this, then you need to look at it from both sides. Because there's always a silver lining, folks. There's a silver lining in everything. In everything that we are facing that this government can deliver to us is a key to our own shackles. Every single law that they bring down on us is a chance for freedom. All we have to do is see what's being done and choose to exercise our power to step above it. That's what it is. Every single problem is an opportunity. Every single restraint is a chance for freedom. And that's the way I look at it. And I think it's important for people to look at it this way, folks, because that is where the key is. That's the silver bullet. The silver bullet is you. You just have to realize that. But look, I think we've reached the end of the show here, folks. It's been a pleasure talking to you again today. Thank you for continuing to listen to the radio show. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a donation to the website. They've been few and far between. And if anybody has ever thought about making one, now would be a really good time. And if anybody feels like it, it would be a great help. But I leave that to you. But it is a pleasure to come here and talk to you, folks. It is an honor to have you come and listen to me every week. Thank you very much for the support you've shown me. Thank you for the emails you send me. Thank you for the kind words. I'm sorry for the mood that I get in sometimes. I know I get a little bit brusque sometimes, and I get a little bit down on religion, especially Christianity, but I do that because I live in a Christian country, folks, and most of the people in this country who are Christian are apathetic. They're waiting for Superman, and they don't understand that we could actually change things in one day if they chose to participate. And that's what I don't like about religion. I don't like the fact that it removes power from the individual and it places salvation in the hands of an off-world god whom I believe to be fiction. I think the whole thing is a construct. I think every religion is a construct. I think all have been designed to lead people away from themselves. And I apologize if people don't like that thought, but that's just the way I think. And I have hopefully made that clear from day one. But that is it for me, folks. Thank you very much for joining me on the air today. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. In Lakesh.